One of the most dramatic scenes in ancient war movies is that of the battering ram, smashing against the gate of a besieged castle. Whether we're watching an old classic, maybe like Ivanhoe, or maybe one of the recent Lord of the Rings trilogies, we all sense that the end is coming. The battering is at the door. It's wheeled up. The gate is in front of you. The shower of arrows are coming. The battering ram seems to win the day. These mighty rams provide a vivid illustration of the irresistible power of unity. No army ever broke through a gate by cutting a huge log into pieces and sending its men in to beat on the gate's door. You know, that's not really as effective. Their individual blows would never carry sufficient force to break down the thick planks of a well-built gate. But if that large log is kept intact and hurled against a gate through the coordinated efforts of many soldiers, its heavy blows will soon shatter all resistance and open the way to victory. This is the kind of force Jesus calls us to imagine when he describes the irresistible power of his church. It's this power that came down as recorded in Acts chapter 2 on this day of Pentecost, or they used to call it the Festival of Weeks, and it was an opportunity to give thanks to the harvest that was going to be able to be a part of their next coming days. It was a powerful day in the life of the church. And I want to suggest to you this morning that our power comes most clearly through unity. So how will that look? What is the nature of Christian unity? How will that live out in our lives? So first, can we agree that people do not create unity? Christian unity is not built around a cause, but rather centered on a person. His name is Jesus. Also, Christian unity is being one in spirit and purpose. That means to love Jesus Christ and to make him known to others. That is our call. That's what the disciples had to get in their minds as they were huddled in an upper room. They didn't know where the next steps would be. They were a little bit disorganized and confused. Great definition of what the church is on many levels from time to time. Disorganized and confused. We don't know where to put our energies and our talents and where is it that we need to be headed. And then God showed up. So I want to mention this morning five commitments that need to be in place to cultivate, maintain, and demonstrate unity. One of these commitments that we have been a part of for many years here at Philippi Baptist, for the many churches that are represented here this morning, you have seen it lived out in the life of the church. And it's a commitment to love Jesus Christ above all things and to sacrifice all of our many agendas for his sake. Now, you talk about a monumental task because we all have an idea of what would be best. But can we share those in such a way that then allow Christ's agenda to be the very top of the heap? Not only is it a commitment to love Jesus Christ above all things, to sacrifice, but also it needs to be a commitment to sound doctrine. This idea that the Bible continues to be our roadmap, it continues to be the standard of all things that we do, that our teaching always needs to come from and in the heart of the Word of God. We never sacrifice the truth, but always prioritize it in a spirit of grace. There is nothing wrong with speaking truth. but you have to speak the truth in love. It won't take us very long to remember what Jesus has brought us from, and to know that His grace is still extended to all, even today. So, sound teaching, we never sacrifice the truth, and we always prioritize it in a spirit of grace. Another commitment that sometimes becomes one of the most difficult issues is this idea to develop a Christ-like character that especially involves humility and submission. I am convinced many, many times when I have my discussions with my beautiful bride that I am absolutely right. And I find out with just a few minutes that I'm absolutely wrong. And there needs to be in me this idea that I don't always have it all figured out. And I haven't always thought. She says this many times to me. She says, John, I just wish you would think past the end of your nose. You've never had that said to you, have you? Of course, I have a very long nose, so I'm thinking that gives me a little bit of leeway. The way we put things together in our own mind may not be all that there is. And that there is a commitment to develop Christ-like character in all of our lives. There was an example of this in another church. Two individuals who strongly opposed each other's views. One looked at the situation in one way, one looked at the situation in another way, and they were at each other, very strongly telling their side of the story. Then their pastor got up one morning and preached on unity, preached on the idea of maybe walking a few miles in someone else's shoes before you spoke about how you had it all pictured in your own mind. And it was in the middle of their next gathering, their next business meeting, that one fellow stood up and he says, "You know what? I think I finally understand what my brother's talking about. And I actually see his side of the story. You know, I think we ought to go his way." Well, that fella got up and he says, "Now, wait a minute. Wait. I've been thinking about where you're coming from. And actually, I believe that you might be right." That's a whole different perspective. It's a whole different level of allowing God to speak into our lives and allowing Him to develop character. When our focus moves from self to service to others, this is a sign that we are growing in our Christ-like character. So certainly a commitment to love, a commitment to sound teaching, a commitment to develop Christ-like character. But also, how about something that we as Baptists probably know better than many, many other communities of faith? A commitment to respect and pursue God-given diversity. Somehow we've let the world take over this word diversity, and we think of all kinds of different contexts in which it can be used. But do we understand that from the beginning, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, it is all about diversity. If all Philippi Baptist was one big nose, it wouldn't make much of a body of Christ. But thank goodness, we've got Wesley Gray back there as a big toe. And Tom Daddysman's over there with a pretty mean-looking elbow who hurts from time to time when we play racquetball, but that's another story. We all are different. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12 says, that is the picture of the body of Christ. We are not all supposed to be the same. You are not all supposed to like the color of orange like I do. It's okay. Jed says, thank goodness. Boy, I'm just glad that is not a requirement or a litmus test in anybody's book to go forward. But there is a call for us to be unified in diversity. There is a call for us to see that we make up something far greater as we allow all of our different experiences to come and to enrich who we are and what we are as a church. Judd, I'm going to put your phrase on a plaque one day and place it somewhere at Philippi Baptist Church. He said, I've always pictured Philippi Baptist Church as a place where multi-generations can come and worship God. Isn't that great? That's a diversity that God honors and lifts up. And we Baptists, we have had a long history of agreeing to disagree. You get three Baptists together, you have five different opinions. I don't even know how that figures out. But I mean, we look at things one way and then we look at it another. But I think that is the richness in understanding how the day of Pentecost was such a big deal. You had folks there from all over the known world. They did not even speak the same dialect. And somehow, there was a way in which God's message was translated so that all could hear the good news. Now, unity is not the same as uniformity. The church, at its best, should be like an orchestra, which I don't know that much about, but there are some of you here that do. As I understand it, an orchestra is not functional. And I do know this from Dr. Bracey himself. He had to put up with me in the Alderson Broaddus College concert band. And he would, as best he could, get us all lined up so that we were all moving in the same direction. But there was a lot of moving parts. I mean, it was 40 or 50 or 60 members wide. And there were people like me that were not professionally trained. And he still put up with me. And gently, okay, sometimes forcefully, guided us so that we could sound good. And I found out the hard way, the orchestra wasn't just all about the trombone section. Can you believe that? I can't. Low brass is not the only thing you need to hear in an orchestra. Much to my chagrin, even the oboe, Michael Perry, we got to hear the oboe in an orchestra. There is something about the quality and the deep richness of that instrument that you cannot mimic on a piccolo or a flute, right? I mean, it takes all of that together. That is the picture of the body of Christ, with many different instruments blending together under one conductor to play complementary parts in one glorious composition. So, a commitment to love, a commitment for sound teaching, a commitment to be Christ-like in character, a commitment to pursue God-given diversity, and certainly a commitment to strive earnestly and prayerfully to pursue peace, to resolve conflict, to preserve relationships despite personal differences. Linda Burton, I thought you stole my notes this morning during one of her prayer times. Now, did you catch the part where she mentioned all of her neighbors, but there was only one that she said, "This is my dear, dear friend." But then she said, "Who I haven't spoken to since..." Did you hear? A year. How many times in our own life do we have those dear, dear people? Somewhere along the way, we have not connected. And there may be great gulfs of time. But to know that our privilege is to pursue peace. Ms. Linda, thank you for stealing my notes and making a wonderful point today. And for her to recognize her part. It's so easy to say, well, now that's all my friend's part. All she's got to do is come to me, and I'll be glad to say it's okay. No, no, no. We first have to own up to our part and to pursue peace. It's the unity that was not just started on the day of Pentecost, but certainly was the time in which the Spirit came in a very special way to empower us to be able to live out these commitments. There's no way we can do this on our own. It is not within us. Left to our own devices, the entire world will continue to revolve around Jonathan Villars. But I am so glad that Jesus steps into our lives and He says, you are a part of something far greater. And that we get to share in that unity together. So, the parts you do not have in your outline, I just want to go through those. There will be evidence of this unity. It will be a harmony. There will be no worldly discrimination based on race, gender, age, or economic status. We are all level at the foot of the cross. There is no distinction. People feel a freedom to respectfully disagree with one another. Now, if you don't think that's scriptural, try Philippians 3:15. It mandates that we have that understanding as we go forward in life. We work productively toward common kingdom goals and invest our spiritual material resources far more effectively when we see a greater purpose. Evidence of this unity is that there are durable relationships. It was sort of a roast last night at Bob and Mary Boyer's reception as well. And it's so interesting to have open mic at one of those events. And you have folks come up and they seem to have free and clear conscience to just speak what they want to. And so I know Mary and Bob were sort of like, okay, what's the next person going to say about us and where we've been in our lives? But you know, what I heard was a fine example of this durable relationship. There are people that have invested in the Boyers, and then there are people that the Boyers have invested in, and they have gone through many things together. Many wonderful things, but also many times of great heartbreak and trial. And to know that there are people that have been with them through the journey. How much more so do we have that privilege in the church? How many times has Margaret Salemi told us how much the church has sustained her, has carried her, and multiplied that throughout each one? And ultimately, the fruit of our unity is that it will enhance our witness for Christ. It will be that when we walk out the church doors and there'll be 200 cars sitting out in the lot in the courthouse, that they'll say, oh, that's that church, that Philippi Baptist. They actually love one another there. And they actually care for the community that they're placed in. I don't know what's going on over there, but maybe we need to check it out. It enhances our witness for the Lord. Eddie's been taking these youth around with these little religious surveys. Do you believe there's a higher power or a God? Well, I think I do. And they'll go on to say, well, do you believe there's absolute truth in life? That there is something right and wrong? I said, well, yeah, I believe there's truth. Yeah. Well, do you believe that cheating is wrong? And they'll say, well, most of the time, I believe cheating's wrong. You know, as long as it's not really, you know, anyway. Great opportunities to just open doors and to be available to share and to let folks know that we are one in Christ. True Christian unity can provide a powerful and appealing witness to the world. It is different than what you see anywhere else. So here's the challenge. What will we do today, by God's grace, to cultivate, maintain, and demonstrate unity in our marriages, in our workplace, in our families, in our churches? That's our call. That's our privilege as we go forward on this birthday of the church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, you continue to call us to be a people not only of unity, but of sharing your good news. Holy Spirit, come upon us, breathe new life into us, Help us to share this new life in all we do and say. Help us to be creative as you are our creator. Help us to inspire others as you inspire us. Help us to be a new creation, for you have made us a new creation in you. Call us away from the competitive ways of the world and into the collaborative waves of the Spirit. Help us to build up rather than to break down. Help us to be renewed and be refreshed when we are worn down and tired. Call us into the way of new life through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.